So it's not a choice. You have to be there. And to do so, I think, regional cooperation,
yes.
Like Kenya has on San Marco Island, a launch pad that Italians use. It's near the equator. As you know, when you launch from the equator, you get the Earth rotates faster at the equator, so you get all that velocity attached to it. And so, you know, the launch could be in Kenya. The satellite could be assembled in Uganda. Some of the electronics could be done in Ethiopia and so on.
And research just, happens in some other places.
It's safe. Yes, absolutely. It's not prohibitively difficult.
Anymore. Right. I mean, prohibitive in terms of resources could be, but when you pool resources, I guess.
Absolutely.
But is Africa falling behind the space race at this point? Is that something that worries you?
It worries me, yes. Nigeria has done several iterations of space launch. For instance, they hired an English company that did their first satellite. They had their engineers go in England to work. But now they're gradually moving the control center in Nigeria and then doing some of the work in their own. So there's a lot of not highly organized Africa-wise, but every these countries are trying.
That was Dr. Brooke Lacue, the former Associate Director for Planning and Research and Development, Solar System Exploration Division at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. He joined me in studio here at the Voice of America. You're listening to Nightline Africa on the Voice of America. In Malawi, religious groups say that the constitution does not support same-sex marriages. In a series of protests across the country, church and other religious groups demonstrated to show their disapproval to what they call an attempt by an individual to challenge the constitutional ban of same-sex marriage. Representatives at the demonstration in the capital, Lilongwe, say it was aimed at reaffirming and supporting heterosexual relationships. It was attended by prominent Malawians, civil society, the opposition, and some cabinet members. Organizers say that a majority of Malawians are against same-sex relationships, which they say is alien to their culture. They add that Malawi is a conservative and family-oriented country whose laws must be respected. Opponents say that LGBTQ people have always existed, but until recently have not spoken out publicly, and that they are no threat to society. Archbishop Desmond Tambala led the protest in Lilongwe. In an interview with VOA's Peter Cloti, he dismissed suggestions that the protests are aimed at pressuring the judiciary to ban same-sex relationships.
Well, it's actually to make a statement about the stand of the church on same-sex marriages, same-sex marriage. That's the heart of the message. The statement was made that for the churches, for us, we believe that the marriage should be a man between a man and a woman. That was the statement.
But is that in doubt? Because that is what the Constitution states. So why would the religious groups, including churches, decide that, okay, we are going to demonstrate to reinforce the stance? So what's the need for it?
Well, because of late, we have noticed some bodies, groups that are also agitating on the same, but also some citizens, one citizen actually, who is not Malawian, who went to court here in Malawi, seeking to move the courts to pronounce that he can be married to a man. He's a man and he wants to get married to another man. So this is already a matter which is here in the courts of Malawi. While we do not want to go into a court case, because that's a matter of the courts, we thought it was important to reinforce what, as you say, is not in doubt for us.
Archbishop Tambala, what has been the reaction so far of Malawians about same-sex marriages?
It has been massive no. And this is across the country. I have not yet met a Malawian who is in favor of it.
Archbishop, some people are suggesting that what two consenting adults do in private should not be concerned to other Malawians.
I thought about that. For us, if it is going to move the course to change the law, then it will affect all of us. The law does not only apply to one or two individuals. So if it is in private, when they do things in private, well, that's their business. But when now it comes into the public forum, as it is already in the courts, and then I think that's no more a private issue, and we need to make a stand. Because there's a difference between what people do in private and when they go out to legislate it, to ask the courts or the parliament to legislate it for everybody. Because a law applies to all of us. It's not only what those who are doing their own in private. No, at this level, we are talking about the public. So that's where I think there's a difference. We needed to make a statement because we feel that there were also stakeholders who need to be heard if it comes to the law.
And activists are suggesting that perhaps this demonstration sends a signal to judges who will be adjudicating this legal challenge that, hey, we are here, you better rule in our favor, else we'll deal with you.
I think that's not true. We have never thought of that. And actually, we have a very independent judiciary in Malawi. I think that should not be underestimated. They have demonstrated over time that they are very independent. What we have done is we have also been involved in the case because we have our lawyers who have applied to be friends of the court, interested to the case, and they are there. So I don't think that's an issue. Here we are talking about a matter that is being debated in the public. And in debating whether it is in the course or not, I think the public have a right to debate, to express themselves. So I think tying it to the court case is not fair at all. And regarding the fact of trying to intimidate the judges, I think people have to come to Malawi to understand that our judges cannot be intimidated.
So what is the overall message, and will this protest continue in the foreseeable future?
At the moment, what we are telling, especially the MPs, is that, and also the other stakeholders, that we should guard our family. Actually, the banners that we carried around is at the middle of the family. So we want to see that whatever happens in the future is protecting the family between a man and a woman. That's all. As to what we are going to do from now onwards, no, we are very respectful of the executive, the legislature, the judiciary, but also the legislature. If this comes to them, because as of now, it's in the parliament, they have said that it has not yet been presented there. We respect those bodies, and let us wait and see. As they say, we'll cross the bridge when you come to the bridge.
That was Archbishop Desmond Dambala speaking with VOA's Peter Clotty from Lilongwe in Malawi.
This is Science in a Minute.
A team of scientists has found that the color of the ocean has significantly changed over the last 20 years. They add that this is likely due to human-produced climate change. The team, made up of U.S. and U.K. researchers, detailed their findings in a study published in the journal Nature. The team proposes that tropical regions of the ocean have been getting greener over the years. The researchers say that while the color change may not be as noticeable to human eyes, the shift nonetheless has affected over 56% of the world's oceans, which they say is an area larger than Earth's entire landmass. Study authors suggest that changes in color show that marine ecosystems at the ocean's surface must also be changing, since ocean color is an actual reflection of the organisms and materials contained within its waters. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The Voice of America, you're listening to Nightline Africa. I'm Jackson Bunganyi in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, our sports report, and that will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Joner, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, and music from our African collection. And now it's time for Nightline Africa Sports
Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. The stage is set for the 2023 FIBA AfroCAN Final, which will pit Morocco against Cote d'Ivoire in a clash between outsiders who have now become title contenders on Sunday. Morocco and Cote d'Ivoire have never faced each other in the AfroCAN history. While Morocco qualified automatically to this year's AfroCAN by virtue of reaching the semi-finals 4 years ago, Cote d'Ivoire went through a regional qualifier last month in Abidjan to make it to the Luanda Showdown. Mike Fofana, Cote d'Ivoire's force, says the team will put away its individual brilliance to work together to win against Morocco.
I don't really feel nothing about the individual. I feel it's a team. Without my team, I wouldn't be able to do none of the things I'm doing right here. Coach said this is a team. There's no one star. Everybody's together. We all play for each other. We all have fun. We all love each other. This is bigger than just one person. This is for our country.
In tennis news, Tunisian Ons Jabeur on Saturday described her third defeat in a Grand Slam final as the most painful of her career, but vowed to bounce back and break her jinx at the majors. World number 6 Jabeur was beaten 6-4-6-4 by unseeded Markéta Vondrousova of the Czech Republic 1 year after she lost the Wimbledon final to Elena Rybakina. More pain followed at the US Open later in the year, where she was runner-up again, this time to Iga Swiatek. It may be the hardest loss of her career, but the heartbroken aunt is confident these losses will teach her how to one day win this final.
Said I cannot force anything right now. It wasn't meant to be. It wasn't this match, last year's match, the final of the US Open, will teach me how to win these finals, and will definitely keep learning, keep being positive. And I think that's the thing that will keep me going.
And now to rugby, where the Kenyan national under-20 rugby team, the Chipu, began its World Rugby under-20 trophy campaign on a sour note after going down 34-25 to Samoa at the Nyayo National Stadium on Saturday. The Kenyans landed the first try after a bright start, but the two-time champions Samoa hit back almost instantly to even the score. In the earlier games, Zimbabwe were demolished 64-33 by Scotland, as the Barclays Cup champions came up short in their opening match of the campaign. The teams would take a 5-day break and resume the champions on Thursday, the 20th of July. In boxing news, former boxing champion Floyd Money Mayweather is in South Africa after attending a political event in neighboring Zimbabwe. Floyd Mayweather and the hashtag The Money Team are in South Africa as part of the Motherland Tour. His banquet in Johannesburg will help raise funds for young people involved in boxing.
It's great to be back in Africa. My first stop was Zimbabwe. Any and every time I come back, they treat me with respect, show me nothing but love. I always want to inspire and push my people, let them know they can be great like myself.
And that's all for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports.
Thank you so much, Samson. Always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up again next Sunday for another look at African sports right here on Nightline Africa. It is Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent.
If I be your only girl, you must delight my way. Baby, you go love my crave. You must run my race. Oh, I'm the one for you, you, you. Man, play a bigger bullet for you, you. Anything I do is for my baby boo. For you, all my brain I go give for you. Anything I would do, can do. We love to make me the lazy, oh, lazy, oh. I just be daddy, do do do. And it's only you that makes me alright. What will I do without you in my life? See good things that you bring for my life. That's the way I used to love you. Bad boy, too far for my head.
dreams, oh. I deny, I don't wanna see you. It'll make me go to door to door, and I want to open up the door. My heart is cocky, cocky, cocky for you.
like, it no be everybody's a bigger. So why they do this song to teach you the basic step? Hey. They make you not fear, run to the dance floor. Hey. Just do as I do, and we go have a lot of fun. So jump to the center, move one leg like this.
Sunday Music Spot. Hope you enjoyed the music from Nightline Africa here at the English service of the Voice of America. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoyed the program tonight. As you know by now, we are on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, managing editor Bill Eagle and producer Nicole Peters, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, no shortcuts exist to the top of the palm tree. I'm your host, Jackson Vunganyi, in Washington.